And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Download our Red Eye Radio app today and listen when and where you want if you can't listen live overnight. Good morning.
Good morning. And hello.
Greetings and salutations. What did I get that? Oh, that's from Good Morning Vietnam.
Yes. Yeah.
Was that Lieutenant Steve?
Lieutenant Steve.
Okay, that's where that came from.
wasn't it the other guy that was on?
Yeah, that's right.
Before.
Yeah,
Adrian Grenauer,
right.
Or
right, and yeah. And it just popped into my mind. George Costanza said that one time too.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, yeah.
when he came walking in, he said, "Greetings and salutations! What a beautiful day for a ball game. Let's play too." I remember that. So but here we go. Let's. Here's a liberal circular firing squad update. Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors blasted President Joe Biden in an interview on Sunday, suggesting he is failing the movement. She also pressured Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg to fund programs to remove law enforcement from traffic stops.
So you're basically eliminating traffic stops?
Yeah. Can I ask a question here? Why do you need to fund programs to remove law enforcement from traffic stops? Will those funds go straight to her so she can buy another home?
Oh,
I'm not.
Maybe.
Is that where? Because if you're removing law enforcement from traffic stops, what do you have to fund? I thought it was defund the police.
Hey, are they proposing a RoboCop kind of thing? That would still be enforcement technically, right?
Yes.
I mean, even...
That would be law enforcement, yes.
Even cameras would be enforcement. So,
boy, that really never took off, did it? It did for about a decade and a half.
The camera thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the challenges were crazy. And why is that? Because we all kept getting caught. That is exactly what happened.
I never got caught on one.
Well, because you didn't get caught because you didn't blow the red light.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you talking about the speeding enforcement cameras or the red light enforcement
cameras? Any of the cameras for anything. Yeah. Overall. I remember in...
Because I don't think we ever had them, but where was it? Arizona had speeding enforcement cameras or something?
Oregon did. When I lived in Portland, they had... In fact, but they had to take... this goes back to like 98 or 99.
Yeah.
But those cameras, they had the speeding, but they also had the red light. and they got caught shortening the yellow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we all have that.
Think about
mm-hmm. the human body, mm-hmm. our hand-eye coordination, what our mind remembers. Mm-hmm. You see the yellow light go off, and you know most of us know. Well, you know whether to speed up or slow down, depending on how far away you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, I do remember that. What was the alien movie?
Mm.
Oh, geez. Was it Starman?
Maybe. I don't know. That did what?
Where the alien's driving. And she said, just follow exactly what I did. So the light turns yellow, and he just speeds up and nearly causes an accident.
You know, I got to go back and watch that movie, but that may have been Starman. Yeah,
it was Starman, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And she said, I thought I told you. He goes, I know. Green light, go. Red light, stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yellow light, go faster.
Yeah. Yes, yes, that's it. That's it. Which, by the way, was used as jokes in sitcoms for years.
Yeah.
And I think it probably started with that movie. I didn't think about that. Yeah. But no, the cameras went away because we all kept getting caught and we got loud about it. And then local, but they also, as you mentioned, were manipulating clearly. At least in my cases, manipulating the yellow light. I don't know what they need the funds for in this case. You know, if you're not going to have law enforcement involved in traffic stops.
I'm sure it's for her to, you know, enrich herself as was her goal. Interesting that the Guardian did an interview on her, and this was after the Tyree Nichols killing, and so of course they had to interview her. Nobody really searches her out anymore,
right?
Because as you know, it's obvious her job was to enrich herself. And Black Lives Matter, as we always stated, was the perpetuator of the huge big lie that police departments are systemically racist,
right?
And so you need to defund the police. You know, they were pushing that for the longest time, and they were adored. They were the darlings mm-hmm. that the sports leagues and all the woke corporations jump behind, and you were all conned, you suckers. They were lying to you.
Yep.
But you know something? Many of the companies knew they were lying and still felt intimidated anyway. You know, we talked about that time,
mm-hmm.
and it was probably the most intimidating liberal wave we have ever seen, that you either get aboard or we'll destroy you. And I'm telling you right now, it was the only people that really stood up to that was conservative talk radio.
Yeah.
Conservative talk radio, right. And maybe the Wall Street Journal editorial page, Fox.
Yeah.
Fox. I can't think of her name. Heather. The one who did the research, actually crunched the numbers to find out.
Heather McDonald?
Yeah, Heather McDonald.
Yeah.
Heather McDonald. And, you know, but except for conservative talk radio and a few, everybody else crumbled. Whatever Black Lives Matter said was gospel truth, mm-hmm. and it was a lie, and we said it from the very beginning. And I'm telling you, I've never ever felt intimidation social-wise, society-wise, that strong.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't going to change this what we do, because number one, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give my opinion and not somebody else's opinion.
Right.
And nobody's ever going to intimidate me to have a particular opinion on the radio, and same with you, and same with the vast majority of conservative talk show hosts who didn't wimp out after 2016 because things got too tough and we just couldn't handle it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got too mean. And mm-hmm. then we found out, oh, you really weren't conservative. Oh, that's why.
You didn't really want to do this for a living.
Yeah. There you go. Biden, you're bad. Biden, politicians, Democrats, you're abandoning Black Lives Matter. Why? Because people figured out that defund the police doesn't work, you idiots.
You know, so they have abandoned Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, in return, is criticizing, you know, the Democratic Party because there's very little money coming in, I'm sure. Climate change, because Greta has abandoned the left and said,
"Oh,
this
true.
Is, you know, this is all about greenwashing and net zero is not zero." And the left doesn't use her anymore. You notice how they really kind of make her look fringe more and more. The media portrayal of her makes her look, it's like they're looking at her with different eyes now because she doesn't want to be a part of that. She doesn't believe anybody is doing anything about it. All is lost, blah, blah, blah. We're doomed.
Well, the problem is when you brainwash kids who really don't have any idea how the world works whatsoever,
right,
and you actually brainwash them successfully, and then they find out you're not really behind what you claim you are. It's right. All an image. Well, then you're going to get some blowback. But we know that's the case.
They taught her to think a certain way. It was a learned behavior, but it was also a learned learning process, if you will, right? So you taught her to learn in a different way, and you are the ones that programmed her. Here's the thing, but you can't deprogram her. You can't say, well, it's climate change. Well, what do we do? Well, big government. Well, what is big government going to do? They're going to stop it, right? Because my friends and I are worried the world is going to end in 2030. You guys are doing something, right? Yeah, we're doing something. What are you doing? We're taxing people. Well, what does that do? It brings in a lot of money. To do what? To fund regulation. What does the regulation do? It keeps people from doing things. Is it fixing the problem? Well, okay, I knew it. You guys aren't fixing the problem.
Well, and the other thing is, too, when you're really serious about it and you say, well, wait a minute, electric cars aren't the savior.
Right.
When you say that we're, and she actually spotted it, when you say you're actually green, you're not. So if you actually wish to save the planet and to save it from human destruction, she automatically became the most radical, which is no, human life has to be cut severely. Nobody can drive cars. We can't live in a modern society today.
Yeah.
So when you have convinced someone that it's the end, and then they look at it and go, well, you told me this is going to end it, but you're not actually fulfilling what needs to be done to stop this, well, then you're hypocrites. And we know they are.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're all hypocrites. We know that. We know Al Gore, who is still. Everybody in the climate change industry knows they're BSing everybody.
Yeah.
And they still accept it.
Right.
Biden got no flack for lying about ethanol for all those years.
Right.
And he came out and finally said, yep, I lied. He's still an expert, even though on the first major program to stop climate change, which was ethanol, right?
Yep.
The ethanol mandate, which was the big first push. It was a complete lie for over 10 years. He's still our hero because he does things that hurt the movement, but image-wise, we pretend he's doing the right thing. And everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the hypocrisy. Leonardo DiCaprio and his private jets, his yachts, all that stuff. They don't believe the Earth's going away. They scared the day. And as we said, what reprehensible kind of adults tell kids that they're not going to be able to make it to 30?
Yeah, that the entire world is ending. You tell that to a bunch of adolescents.
Oh, did you see? Oh, I got to find the story. It just popped into my head. Was a professor something told Miami that they need to evacuate? Got to find that. It just happened in the last 24 hours. Professor says that they need to evacuate not because it was like a tsunami coming, just because of climate change.
Yeah, okay. Because the ocean is rising?
Yeah.
All right.
It's not a hurricane either. I'll have to find it here. Yeah, climate change. Professor warns Miami must prepare for evacuation due to climate change.
Yeah, okay.
Miami should prepare for evacuation on account of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Daniel Cohen teaches sociology at UC Berkeley. He co-authored a piece for The Nation on Friday in which he argued for more panic among the citizens of Miami. It's urgent for governments and social movements to start planning for millions of people to land in new places. Prepping Miami's evacuation is a perfect starting point. Its residents are multiracial, multinational, multigenerational assemblage that spans the class spectrum. Tragically, many of them are already climate migrants, like Puerto Rico, displaced by a recent hurricane, which, of course,
climate
is climate change.
Migrants. Oh,
climate migrants.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
There you go. If cities around the country were forced to plan how they'd integrate arriving citizens of Miami into communities flush with public green investment, they'd get a head start on planning for climate migration generally. This would trigger conversations about zoning for density, enshrining tenant rights, upgrading infrastructure, taxing the rich, building green banks, and battling racism and police violence. He just covers it all.
Well, why not? Just throw everything in.
Oh.
Wow. Berkeley, you say? Oh, my gosh.
Whew.
What must it be like? Because you know there's got to be one student each semester. And I'm just saying one that is more conservative-minded that's on campus attending class at Berkeley. There's got to be at least one.
Wow, that'd be interesting to go in and put in some type of online ad to get that person, you know, and have them all shadowed what it's like to be a conservative at Berkeley.
Well, I mean, I know Project Veritas does other things, you know, they get into deeper issues, but I would love to see that, you know, just what do you experience on a daily basis?
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tires command a lot of attention. As a top expense for drivers and a leading cause of CSA violations, any tire maintenance practice that can help extend tire life is worth consideration. Consider tire balancing, which can set you up for savings and a smoother ride before your tires touch the highway. Tire balancing corrects an uneven distribution of weight in tires and wheel assemblies, but the trick is to be proactive and not reactive. Conduct routine tire inspections and pay special attention to any unusual wear patterns. Once unusual tread wear is visible on a tire, its traction and stopping distance is reduced and its lifespan will likely be shortened. This report is brought to you by Shell Rotella. Shell Rotella, with advanced synthetic technology, is designed to help keep your rig running with more mileage and less maintenance.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Shell Rotella with advanced synthetic technology.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. This article just came out here in the last couple of hours. Let me see, 1:20 a.m. From the New York Post. A member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee wasn't satisfied by what he heard from senior Biden administration officials on Monday during a closed-door briefing on the Chinese spy balloon incident. Representative Daryl Issa characterized the briefing as unspecific, insufficient, and backward-looking, according to Fox News Digital, further telling the outlet that officials did not provide evidence to back up weekend claims by defense officials that three similar flights took place when former President Donald Trump was in office. Quote, what I took from the briefing confirmed that this administration and not the previous one had plenty of advance warning of an escalating Chinese espionage program failed to act and now has humiliated this country on the world stage, he told Fox Digital. The Pentagon informed the public on Thursday that a Chinese spy balloon had intruded U.S. airspace, with officials noting the device had first been detected 5 days earlier off the coast of Alaska.
Mm.
Whoa. And I guess today, the House and Gang of Eight,
yeah,
is supposed to get a briefing.
Mm. Mm. All right.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com. and use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye. Red Eye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
The fourth branch of government, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Everything keeps changing in this stupid story.
Yeah.
The balloons. I mean, it's not a stupid story. It's just the stupid people involved in it.
Mm.
This story came out. Fox News Digital had it and New York Post reprinted it. Member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee was not satisfied by what he heard from senior Biden administration officials on Monday during a closed-door briefing on the Chinese spy balloon incident. Representative Daryl Issa characterized the briefing as unspecific, insufficient, and backward-looking, further telling the outlet that officials did not provide evidence to back up weekend claims by defense officials that three similar flights took place when former President Donald Trump was in office. What I took away from this briefing confirmed that this administration and not the previous one had plenty of advance warning of an escalating Chinese espionage program, failed to act, and has now humiliated this country on the world stage. Now, the interesting thing in this article is, listen to this.
Hmm.
On Monday, and we had mentioned this before, Air Force General Glenn Van Herk, the head of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, told reporters that his agency never detected the incursions. He said, quote, and I think the quote I had from another story was different, but listen to this, quote, "I will tell you that we did not detect those previous threats, and that's a domain awareness gap that we have to figure out," end of quote. I was under the impression from previous articles that they had figured it out. Are you telling me when it comes to balloons, we're talking years and NORAD is claiming that there's whatever the hell a domain awareness gap is that we have to figure out?
So this is a good point to reintroduce my question or point that I made earlier. And that is, the claim was we didn't want to say anything about it because it weakened our position with Blinken going to China. But then you want to blow this massive, massive hole in that theory by them having saying, we haven't figured it out. We don't know how to do this. I mean, is that what we're to believe here?
And would you publicly state that?
Tell me how that helps your position with China again. I mean, why would you do that? You know, we go back to the question of, was this information classified of this happening, you know, before? And if so, who declassified it? We know one person that has the ultimate ability to declassify it.
Yeah, because you get to the point of saying, all right, this happened. We don't know how to figure out how to detect these Chinese balloons in certain domains. Now, we know one of the domains is not this last flight.
Right.
Whatever a domain awareness gap means. And so you have this, it happens. Well, the last thing you're going to do is put that out to the public. You don't want the Chinese to know that you have a awareness gap. So it becomes classified at that moment. We talk about, look, all the talk's been about we overclassify.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if this wasn't classified, you're not overclassifying, you're underclassifying. Because as far as I know, if I'm president of the United States and you tell me that, that's top secret. Until it's top secret, we figure out what it is, but you don't let the world know that. You don't let the Chinese know that. So there was never anything on this that had come out. And all of a sudden, boom, to use as a political hammer to help Biden, it's leaked. Was that classified or was it not classified? And if it wasn't classified, how come nobody ever reported that story?
Right.
And if it wasn't classified, how come not one member of Congress knows about it from what we know?
Right.
It just keeps nothing.
Well, and if it was classified, why didn't the Gang of Eight know? And if it was classified, then who declassified it? Because we're all, it appears they're all talking about it fairly openly now. It either was or wasn't classified. Either way, why didn't at least the Gang of Eight, in the case of a classified piece of information, or anybody in Congress, if it wasn't classified, know about this? And if your cover is to, if your excuse is that we didn't want to look weak with Blinken going to China.
It makes it even worse.
This makes it so much worse. The earlier point I was making, because they're saying now we don't really know how to prevent this from happening in the future in terms of detecting it in certain cases. Well,
by the way, the last story I did read before did have that quote correct. I'd read it somewhere else. I must have just skimmed over it because I'd read articles mm-hmm. earlier that mm-hmm. seemed to imply that they had this taken care of now.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's not the case, because I'll read it again. I'll tell you that we did not detect those previous threats, and that's a domain awareness gap that we have to figure out, end of quote. 850 billion dollars a year. Soon closing in on a trillion. The most sophisticated intelligence known to mankind, and we can't detect a balloon on our early warning systems? Are you freaking kidding me?
I really think a lot of this hinges on if this information was classified or not. because now you have NORAD officials clearly talking about it openly.
Yep.
And if something is declassified, I guess you're cleared to do that as a matter of protocol, mm-hmm. unless you're instructed otherwise, which I'm guessing they weren't.
And as we've talked about, but it's precisely here, that's a domain awareness gap that we have to figure out. Does Congress know about this? You didn't tell Congress? You didn't go to Congress for more money to figure this out?
How would this not, this kind of gap, how would this not be? Now, that's a great point right there. How would you fix it? Well, you're going to need that to be funded. The first thing you do is run to Congress.
Right. We got a problem here. You go to the House, you go to the Gang of Eight, you go to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. We got a problem here.
Right.
We need the funding.
Right.
And that's however you get that funding in, you get that funding in.
Right.
That funding passes.
Yep.
You take it from where you have to take it. You need to make sure your early warning system is working.
Right. And if it's not, because if it wasn't classified information, then there's no way it wasn't classified. Because if it wasn't classified information, it would have been all over the Washington Post and or the New York Times that the Trump administration allowed Chinese balloons over American soil.
Mm-hmm.
They would love that story.
Right.
That would have been everywhere. You would have heard about that. That would have been a common thing. That would have been the meme factory over the last couple of years, whenever it came out. So it's hard to believe that it wasn't classified. But it's not now.
That's what you're saying. We had one threat. Then we had two threats.
Right.
Then we had three threats, and we found out about it. And we never, I mean, how long? I want to see the timeline on this. They find out last week, and they haven't had a chance to go to Congress. They found out the week before. Did they find out yesterday? Last Friday? When did they find out, and how long didn't they tell Congress? Because no member of Congress knows about this. And they could state it now because it's been obviously, if it was classified, it's been declassified, so they could all speak on it now.
Okay, what's more alarming? Now, you just brought up an interesting point here, that the timeline, if this timeline is very short, then it is possible that they just learned about that it happened during the Trump years, like recently. In recent weeks, did they? Right. When did they learn? When did they know that? When did they learn that? Because they're saying that the Trump administration officials didn't know it then. Then the key is, when did you learn it? The first question,
right.
When did you learn that it goes back and it happened during the Trump years, and how did you learn that? Because my question would be, all right, if you apply that, you know, whatever you got, whatever information and intel you got, did it happen before the Trump years? Did it happen, you know, I mean, but what would be alarming is that this has been going on for quite some time, and they just now learned that it's been going on for years, and they don't know what to do about it. By the way, that would in part explain or be a basis for why they haven't gone to Congress yet. Let's say they just learned this in the last
time span, yeah.
You know, in the last 30 days, in the last 3 right. weeks, and they don't have a ready fix for it with the technology and funding in place right now. And so there hasn't been that approach. But my question would be, yeah, but does that mean that this hole is bigger than that even they know? I mean, that is just as alarming, that they're just learning about all this.
Yeah, either way would be alarming.
Yes.
Because I mean, my question would be, with the number of satellites that we have up there, because they say forensics, we had used forensics to identify the Chinese spy craft incursions. What does that mean, forensics, when it applies to that?
Yeah, you would have to say that then a series of satellite photos from over the years, or what?
Yeah, but you'd know that within a day
if you were looking for it.
It's a pretty big thing to miss,
I would think.
You know, yeah, you've got planes and all that flying, and it is a balloon. So, you know, if you ever looked at the air traffic control apps, it's pretty amazing how many planes are in the air. And so things, you can make the case that things can get lost. But the fact is, do you know where where the Chinese are launching these things? There's a difference in elevation as to, you know, where these things are flying versus planes. You're telling me we don't have that down? Because if we don't have that down, we're in deep crap.
Is it a new method by the Chinese, by any nation?
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Join the conversation using the Shell Rotella hotline, 866-907-3339. Red Eye Radio at Shell Rotella. What matters is inside.
Eric and Gary for the Eden Pure Gen 40. You know, inflation is skyrocketing. Prices are surging on everything, including energy. You need to stretch your dollar.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curlin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I just want to play this audio cut quickly. Leon Panetta yesterday on Fox News, as we all know, the well-known Democrat, former Secretary of State, and he knows there's a problem here.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are lessons to be learned from this. First of all, it was clear. I don't know at what point they made the decision, but it was clear that this balloon was carrying sensitive equipment that could collect intelligence. And secondly, that it was maneuverable, which meant that they could basically maneuver that balloon over targets. So it was a spy balloon at that point. And I think when it was determined that it was a spy balloon, I don't know the timing here, but I think it was at that point that we should have sent a clear message to China to be able to take control of that balloon and get it away from the United States, or else we were going to shoot it down.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah. He knows what everybody knows. Anybody who knows anything about the Cold War with Russia, or if you whatever kind of Cold War you want to call it, with China, when it comes to spying like this, when something like this happens, you shoot it down.
Yep.
Everyone knows it.
Yep.
That's why, you don't have a lot of Democrats really defending the press. You may have some media people. You don't have a lot of Democrats or any mainly military people actually. You know.
No, you don't.
You lose Leon Panetta, you got problems.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, we're Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Download our app today, our Red Eye Radio app, and listen when and where you want if you can't listen live overnight. All right, so that story coming out here in the last little bit from Fox News Digital that Representative Daryl Issa said, hey, we had a closed-door briefing and learned really nothing on the we're talking about the whole balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Thing. And Eric and I behind the scenes got a little bit confused. There's so many gates going on that we confused behind the scenes. We had confused the document scandal. They got mixed up. The timeline of who was doing what and who was going to be briefed on what. We were mixed up going, wait a minute, isn't that the other scandal? Oh, it's that scandal. No, it's this scandal.
Yeah,
it's
like, you were asking if the Gang of Eight was going to be briefed today. They won't be briefed on the balloon thing until the 15th. The document scandal. Is anybody even paying attention to the document scandal anymore?
well, actually, the House was briefed on it.
On the balloon thing.
On the balloon thing yesterday.
Right. Right. Well, that which was ramped up, but it was scheduled for the 15th.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if I don't know if there is a separate briefing on the 15th. There might be.
Okay.
Because it was scheduled for the 15th.
Because I thought the Gang of Eight was today, and that the House and Senate Intel committees
on the 15th
for the
balloon gate.
No, for the other. Today is the briefing for the Gang of Eight on the Biden stuff, the Biden classified documents, and the 15th is the House and Senate Intelligence Committee.
Right,
that's what I thought it was.
Right,
right. You were right, and the only thing I know about the balloon was today. I don't know what else was laid out for when they're going to be told.
Okay. All right. At some point, we believe Congress may be updated.
But Congress was yesterday. I mean, ISA, his committee was updated on it. And he came out of it and said, we didn't learn anything. And they gave us no evidence to show that these balloons had encroached on over U.S. soil. Interesting, because in the Washington Examiner, Byron Young? Is that what I'm thinking of? One of the columnists was stating that it's being written different. You go, look at the Washington Poster. They say near U.S. soil. Near is not over. It's like everything, you've got to parse through everything, including this. This is my point is, I had seen earlier, and this is one of the articles I read from the Washington Examiner. The Department of Defense had a domain awareness gap that allowed three suspected Chinese surveillance balloons to cross into U.S. airspace, according to the generals responsible for providing air and missile defense over North America. So you read that and you say, okay, had, which means we no longer. And I read other articles that said the exact same thing, and they only had in quotes domain awareness gap and had before it. Now that's a Washington Examiner, Mike Bress column from yesterday. So you and I, you know, we saw the article that came out from Fox News Digital, reprinted by the New York Post, that said, so those balloons, so every day as an ORAID commander, it's my responsibility to detect threats to North America. I will tell you that we did not detect those threats, and that's a domain awareness gap that we have to figure out. And I went, well, that's not, I got to check. And so we went right to the Department of Defense transcript, and that's what it says. So it was being basically reported. That's what's so screwed up about this. Every 10 minutes, something else changes in it.
Yeah, but, and by the way, it's the senators that are going to be briefed on the balloon thing on the 15th. And Schumer was talking about that a couple days. We were talking about it yesterday.
Okay.
And so the reason I remember the 15th is because I thought, well, that's convenient that they're going to wait until after the State of the Union. And when it came out yesterday that the House was going to be briefed and all of that, then I thought to myself, well, and we have to apply this here because of what you're saying about the coverage of all of this and the gap, whether it's still in existence or not. The coverage yesterday made it seem like there was pressure on the administration to have that briefing in the House before the State of the Union. Because I thought February 15th is a long time.
This is actually making world news. I just put it in again, Daryl Issa, to see how other people are covering it.
Yeah.
Humiliated on the world stage, Republican lawmaker Daryl Issa blasts Biden administration's closed-door briefing on Chinese spying. Mm. The classified briefing was unspecific, insufficient, and backward-looking, the Republican lawmaker told Fox News Digital. Let me see. During the briefing, which was held in a sensitive, compartmented information facility, officials also didn't provide evidence of similar flights taking place during the Trump administration.
Hmm.
What I took away from this briefing confirmed that this administration and not the previous one had plenty of advance warning of an escalating Chinese espionage program, failed to act, and has now humiliated this country on the world stage, Issa said, who serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, he told Fox News Digital. Fox News Digital reached out to the White House for comment. Apparently,
yeah,
haven't heard back yet. So that's what everybody's reporting from Daryl Issa. So I think, was it just the House Foreign Relations or Foreign Affairs Committee that had the briefing? I don't know specifically who got the briefing, but we know Issa did. At least we know that.
Right.
From the story that's broken really overnight.
Well, it's been fluid. You know, a couple of days ago, Fox News was reporting on the briefing front that the Gang of Eight could be briefed as soon as Tuesday, but the full Senate, and Schumer was responsible for the Senate comment, wouldn't be briefed until February 15th. But they clearly felt you were that pressure was there because of the State of the Union. Well, first of all, the pressure's there because it warrants that immediate notification and briefing. But beyond that, politically, there was a belief that the administration was trying to put this off until after the State of the Union. And I don't know if Governor Sanders is going to, in her response, bring it up and if she'll address it. I don't know. I'm not sure, but certainly the Republicans are going to look to, take the president to task as he hits the stage tonight. And the question still is, does he mention the balloon thing? We believe that given his nature, he'd brag about shooting it down. But then he's asked by a reporter yesterday, does this change your State of the Union? And he said no. So we'll see. And, you know, I think the more immediate question in my mind, aside from the political back and forth, really is about how do we prevent this from happening? And right now, from what we know, NORAD really doesn't have a way to prevent or detect these balloons.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to bring up, is that it was implied it had a this problem.
Used the word had,
but in the actual transcript, he says have a problem,
right?
And that's completely. It's like and as we had said earlier, this brings in so many questions. Well, then why are you telling the world this? Why aren't you just keeping that quiet?
Well, because the thing is that the question came up immediately. Why didn't they say anything about it? Well, we didn't, the sourced story was, well, they didn't want to appear weak with Blinken going to China. Well, if that source story is accurate, then and that is the case, then why in the world would you talk about it in that way? Why would the NORAD commander basically say, I mean, because what he's implying to us is that they don't have a way to detect this. So we won't really know unless somebody spots it in the future. That's really hard to believe. The Wall Street Journal editorial board, making the point. $850 billion defense budget, and we can't find a balloon?
You say New York Times or Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think the New York Times is going
to. I thought you said the New York Times. That's why no. I said, say the New York Times?
Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And I don't. Again, that should be the question. Do we have the ability or not? Because now it's not just about China. It's about any would-be enemy. It's about anybody that wants to attack if they believe they could make this happen. We've gone over the last couple of days, you know, what could be on board and the damage it could do. And so everyone's watching Kim Jong-un and, you know, over the years and missile testing and all of that.
And is he still alive last 24 hours?
Right. Which has been on and off for a couple of years now. But the idea is that, all right, if the enemy is learning that we've got this massive hole in our defense, we have to fix this and fix this now.
You know, there's actually two big stories, and we've been focusing on the other part, not Biden's response that mm-hmm. almost universally has been condemned as the wrong thing to do. You don't hear many Democrats coming out and defending and saying he did the right thing. Even, you know, Leon Panetta comes out and says, no, when we knew we should have shut it down.
Right.
Either told them to move it out or shoot it down. By the time it's over Montana, you don't tell them to move it out because then they have to move it out still over the United States, hundreds upon hundreds, maybe possibly thousands of miles.
Right.
But in essence, he was saying you need to shoot it down when you know it's a spy satellite mm-hmm. or spy drone.
Right.
And that's what it actually was. It's a balloon spy drone. Just had propellers and, you know, a way to move it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of it is, this entire thing of something that we believe could have been classified, probably should have been classified, that if you found out, you know, my God, we didn't even know there were three times Chinese drones, spy drones, have been over the United States and we didn't detect them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, stuff like that remains top secret because you don't want the enemy to know that you know.
Right.
Or you don't want the enemy to know that that they got through.
Right.
You want to keep them guessing. Right. Maybe they did know we were there and just didn't shoot us down. You know, we're not sure what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that if it wasn't classified, you're telling me this story never came out unless they just found this information out in the last couple of weeks? But either way, classified or not classified, it never made a news story. There isn't anyone in Congress that seems to know that any of this happened. And as you and I said, if these incursions happen as many times as they did, and we have a problem, well then, sorry, the president has to know.
Yeah.
The Gang of Eight has to know.
Yep.
The House and Senate Intelligence Committee has to know about it, because you need to fix the problem. And when the Pentagon has a problem, they go to the legislative branch and the executive branch to get money to fix the problem.
The first question is, when did they learn? When did they learn of this officially? At what point did they learn about that and what happened during the Trump years is the first question. That would explain why they haven't been to Congress yet. Now, I would still argue, well, you should have been there sooner than yesterday. It should have happened before it got into the Billings Gazette.
Yeah.
So, I think that's protocol. That may be even written in the protocol.
Before it gets into the Billings Gazette.
Before it reaches the Billings Gazette. You got to brief the Gang of Eight. Because now it's starting to feel like They're just learning all of this, which is also a massive, massive concern.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Efforts to advance and promote innovations, projects, and markets for wood products continue with this grant announcement from the U.S. Forest Service.
Our Wood Innovations program includes both financial assistance programs through the Wood Innovations Grant and the Community Wood Facilities Grant. It also includes technical assistance.
Brian Brashaw of the Forest Service says $41 million are available through this year's Wood Innovation Grant and Community Wood Grant programs.
Applications will close on Thursday, March 23rd.
Grants.gov has information on and the application for both grant funding programs. Brashaw says grants for previous projects have spurred growth in mass timber, cross-laminated timber, building construction.
As of the end of December in 2022, over 1,600 buildings and commercial, institutional, multifamily have either been built or are in final design.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You know, if this wasn't about national security, it might, some of this stuff might be funny.
Yeah, because it's not very funny at all.
I'm sitting here and reading Byron York's column. For some reason, I couldn't think of his name before. And talking about after the information came out about, you know, what's going on with, you know, the Trump administration, that these things happened. And it said, you know, these officials were calling back and forth to compare notes, saying, are we missing something? One asked another, do you remember anything like this? Nobody had any knowledge of anything. After all, the Chinese spy balloon shot down Saturday was very large. People saw it from the ground. Airline pilots noticed it. In fact, it first came to public knowledge when a member of the public spotted it over Montana and a local paper published a photo. Did the Biden administration mean to say that it had happened three times during the Trump years and nobody noticed? On Sunday, administration sources began telling reporters, oh, yes, the Chinese incursions happened during the Trump years, but that nobody knew about them. And not just nobody in the sense of the public, nobody in the government, vast military intelligence and surveillance apparatus notice them either. They all missed these giant Chinese balloons. And they go, those previous balloon flights were much shorter in duration, possibly explaining why they were undetected, the Wall Street Journal reported. And they went on and they said, all of a sudden we checked and there was a slightly different story emerging from the Washington Post, which reported that the Pentagon knew of past Chinese surveillance balloons near Florida or Texas. Wait a minute. Near Florida or Texas? What does that mean? Were the balloons over those states? Were they offshore but over U.S. territorial waters? The Washington Post suggested the Pentagon was not being entirely clear.
Oh.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Individuals and businesses with tax.
So good, you know you want to listen again with our podcast, available on our app and at redeyeradioshow.com.
And he's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I was just reading the last part of York's column, Byron York's column in the Washington Examiner. Mm. The answers are urgently needed, allowing a large, highly visible airship presumably packed with intelligence equipment from a foreign adversary to saunter across the United States is a big, big deal. It doesn't matter that Biden's State of the Union address is scheduled for Tuesday and that the White House would like to downplay attention to the balloon matter. Answers are needed now. And like I said, it's just like a lot in this administration, the more information you get, it just opens up more questions and more questions and more questions and more questions. Yeah, whether it's Hunter sure. Biden, yeah. you know, and the whole influence peddling, whatever topic they're on, it always does. Whether it's the border, you know, it's like, okay, we want to solve the problem on the border. Send Mayorkas down. All right, we need to talk about the problem on the border. Well, it's secure.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no problem.
Yeah, and so nothing ever gets better. And that's one of the biggest problems of this administration. And so you have this, and one of here's the problems that they have. First off, was this information previously classified?
Mm. Yeah.
Did the general yesterday say, he said, we have a problem.
Right.
Does that mean that this opening that we have in our long range tracking of what may be coming into this country, is it flawed? And if it is, how long have we known? And if the Pentagon has known, how come Congress has not known about this? Where's the money coming from? What's the program to fix it? The other thing is, if this was classified, and who declassified it so it could be leaked to the press, where now you've got generals, the head of NORAD, talking about it and saying, oh, yeah, we've got a problem in our defenses. That's something that you would think would actually be classified still at this point, that you wouldn't allow that out. If it wasn't classified, then how come nobody in Congress knew about it? And unless the timeline is we found this out last week and put together the forensics last week on Trump, nothing else is going to hold any water on this.
Right. That's the only and there are still a lot of questions there, but that could explain a number of things as to why they didn't go to Congress yet and as to why we still have, you know, this hole in our national defense and in tracking balloons or anything else. I mean, well, again, $850 billion national defense budget, and we can't track a balloon.
And then the other huge problem for the president on this one is he was asked yesterday, is this going to cause a change in the relationship between the United States and China? And he said, no. Now, you look at that with, again, the Republicans are already tying in the fact that the anonymous Chinese donors have given him tens of millions of dollars for the Penn Biden Center. As is pointed out, I forgot what publication pointed out yesterday, the tens of millions of dollars of money from Chinese interest that have enriched his own family.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, of course it's changing our relationship.
Yeah.
And you're admitting it has because you just said Blinken isn't going over.
Right.
And there he is saying, no. And then smiling.
If it hasn't changed anything, then why would you cancel the trip?
And then laughing about this whole, he was laughing about it. You know, why something like this? Why would they do this? He goes, and he just smiles. He goes, well, they're the Chinese.
Yeah.
Big smile on his face. It's not a smiling moment.
No.
And it's just as everything with him, just absolutely, completely and totally bizarre. And it's not going to get any better, and it's not going to go away today. It's going to be huge. And if he's out there, you don't know what he's going to do. If he's out there talking about how great the economy is, and, you know, you and I played Brian Deese earlier, the economic advisor to the president. He was actually stumped. They actually got him. He couldn't, because he came out and said, well, the true indicator of whether the economy is doing good, you know, politically, is whether the people feel it or not.
Right.
And they came back and go, only 16% feel it, according to the latest ABC poll. Well, I go back to my latest. They stumped him. They're now running out of answers. It's to the point they would have run out of answers a year ago if it wasn't such. If the press wasn't basically a tool of the Democratic Party. But now to the point is they can't even answer simple questions. Things are so bad that you cannot say up is down forever before you get called on it. And that's what's happening right now. And it's just it's falling apart big time. If you're a Democrat, do you want to stand behind Biden on the balloon?
You know, there are so many things that, again, just fall apart immediately. Tell me what hasn't with this president. Tell me what hasn't. The document thing. Oh, my gosh. Afghanistan that we've talked about. And this balloon thing. There are so many holes in this. And all of these stories that they're trying to put up, their non-answers bring more questions than answers. They keep running into walls, not walking into walls, running into walls. Even my Roomba learns where the walls are.
No, it's incredible. I mean, Karine Jean-Pierre, you see her stumbling. Brian Deese now is stumbling. You're not getting any type of answers. The fact that, you know, as we said, the general yesterday was implied by, like I said, I came in. I slept a long time yesterday. I'd been sick the last couple of days. But when I woke up is where I saw, you know, I'd seen the general earlier in the day and, you know, what he had said. And I got the opinion, okay, we had a problem. And then during the show, I'm reading.
Because that's how it was written.
That's how it was written.
In one of the stories.
Right. That's a story.
But the quote was different.
The quote was, it says, we have that the problem exists today.
Right.
Well, that just changes everything because what you're saying is we have this problem and nobody in Congress knows unless this, you just found this out last week, you've got a big problem. If it comes out, oh, yeah, well, we had everything disseminated back in the middle of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or in the middle of 2022. Remember, it's been a long time. It's been a full 2 years. And if you could only disseminate forensically, if your satellites couldn't spot it, and you could only forensically figure this out 2 years later, or more than 2 years later, it could have happened 2 years into the Biden or into the Trump presidency. It might be 4 years. That's not comforting either.
No.
And so, but like I said, when the president said, oh, no, this doesn't change the relationship with China, well, you're the only one. And everybody knows you're lying. But why would he say that when everybody knows that it's a lie? Of course it changes it.
So one of the possibilities is that this was classified information and it was declassified. And the president has the ability to declassify. And politically, you look for the cover. Well, we can't talk about the Trump years. That's classified. Yeah. It's not anymore. I declassify this information. Now, if that were the case, then General Van Herk at NORAD can speak freely about it?
Well, if that could be proven, that there would be a legitimate call to impeach the president.
Well, here's the question, which by the way, but still wouldn't surprise me that a Joe Biden would do it. This is a guy who thinks he can do nothing wrong, and he's done most everything wrong.
Because you and I,
I was thinking the same thing when I was actually saying it. I was thinking, well, wait a minute, there's a process declassifying information, and there's no way that eventually doesn't get to the media that he's the one responsible for the declassification of this, which would be for one reason, political cover, as he ramps up his campaign for re-election in 2024.
Speaking of investigating the Bidens, I just want to read parts of this Miranda Devine, who wrote the book, The Laptop from Hell. Mm. House Oversight Chair James Comer is building a killer case against Joe Biden.
Mm.
Comer is increasing, I'm not reading everything, just a few paragraphs. Comer is increasingly confident of his case as whistleblowers come forward to the committee's investigators from all aspects of the Biden family enterprises and financial institutions. He says his investigators are examining the unexplored activities of Joe's brothers, Jim and Frank, and they have witnesses willing to talk. His initial focus has been to follow the money trail to see how it connects to the Chinese Communist Party. For that purpose, the committee will subpoena 13 banks, the majority of which have been fully cooperative. Hunter's high-priced lawyers have been sending letters to the banks warning them not to hand over information to Congress, which Comer says is bull blank. They don't set the rules. Congress sets the rules. Hunter's lawyers also have sent warning letters to Hunter's former business partners, which Comer describes as intimidating witnesses. He also promises that, unlike previously when Republicans controlled the House, he will crack down savagely on anyone who lies to Congress. This Wednesday, his committee will begin probing Twitter censorship of the post original laptop stories in October of 2020, which was part of the apparent cover-up by the FBI and big tech to protect Joe Biden before the election. Appearing under oath is James Baker, Twitter's former deputy general counsel, who played an instrumental role in censoring the Post account, and who previously was the top lawyer of the FBI, where he was the lead protagonist in the Russiagate plot against President Donald Trump. Baker was parachuted into Twitter just 5 months before the 2020 election, and his role appeared to be gatekeeper to block information that might be detrimental to Biden. And they go through everything else. She goes to Twitter, but says all the investigations are they're going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we go.
Well,
it will be an interesting year. Interesting ride.
This thing, I
just don't see this. I see this thing just blowing up. About there's so many questions here.
Oh, yeah.
about whether this information, you know, on the balloons during Trump administration, whether that was classified or not classified. Mm-hmm. Then as soon as you say classified or not classified, then it's like, well, then who declassified it? If it wasn't classified, well, then how come nobody in Congress knew about this? It's all dependent on where the timeline is. When did they finish the forensics and come to the conclusion that there were three balloons during the Trump administration? And were they actually over the land, or, as the Washington Post said, near?
Near.
And as somebody brought up, yeah, but if they were near Hawaii or near Key West, that's not the same as going right across the middle of the United States.
Right.
So exactly. Were they attempting again? Well, the attempt was obviously because the leak didn't tell the full story. The leak said this happened during the Trump administration, too, as if it's no big deal because Trump didn't care.
Well,
so why should Biden care?
It implied that it was similar, that it basically went over the continental U.S. Yeah, I mean, it mentioned, you know, you mentioned Texas and Florida,
right.
But it makes it sound like it's floating over the center of Texas and then along the, you know, Gulf states and over Florida. But it may not have been the case. Man, a million questions.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. This interesting story, we just mentioned it before, but North Korea expected to hold mass military parades this week.
Yeah.
But
could be as soon as today or tomorrow. They said Tuesday or Wednesday.
Kim Jong-un hasn't been seen in public for more than a month.
You know, back in 2014, he had not been in the public for, it was well over a month. And so they're wondering, and, you know, is he sick? Is he dead?
Yeah, he missed a Politburo meeting
right.
on Sunday.
Right.
So they're like, yeah. Okay, he's not. And if he's not even there for the government function.
And if he doesn't make it, because the other story that came out this week was that he, you know, basically told his army to be prepared for war. But that was not an appearance. That just came out in the media. But the bigger story that's been circulating in the last 24 hours is nobody's seen him in a while. If he's not at the parade, what does that mean? If there is a parade.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith right? teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.